Narayana Namaskritya Narum Chaivam Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayat Nasta Prayesu Abhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. Good morning to everyone, Nicole. So this morning's text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, it's called the Summum Bonum, Chapter 8 and Text 42. Aham mama sopati esha me suto Vyajeshwara shakila vitapasati Gopyascha gopasaha godanascha me Yanmaya yitham kumati same gatihi Aham mama sopati esha me suto Vyajeshwara shakila vitapasati Gopyascha gopasaha godanascha me Yanmaya yetham kumati same gati Aham mama sopati esha me suto Vajeshwarasya kilabita pasati Gopyascha gopasaha godanascha me Yanmaya yetham kumati same gati Anyone who wants to chant can do so now. Hare Krishna. Alright. So, word for word translation. Aham, my existence. I am something. Mama, my. Aso, Nanda Maharaj. Pati, husband. Esha, this, Krishna. Mesuta is my son. Vraja Ishwasya of my husband, Nanda Maharaj. Akila Vitapa, I am the possessor of unlimited opulence and wealth. Sati, because I am his wife. Gopya Cha, and all the damsels of the cowherd men. Gopa, all the cowherd men are my subordinates. Saha godana cha, with the cows and calves. Me, my. Yat, maya, maya, all such things addressed by me are, after all, given by the mercy of the Supreme. Ittam, thus, kumati, I am wrongly thinking they are my possessions. Sa me gati, he is therefore my only shelter. I am simply instrumental.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord Maya, It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord, because he is my ultimate shelter. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Following in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. Whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and the ultimate owner of everything. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 5, Text 29, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhidam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvabham Shantim Richati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. We should not be proud of our possessions. As expressed by Mother Yashoda herein, I am not the owner of possessions, the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj, the estate, the possessions, the cows and calves, and the subjects like the gopis and cowherd men are all given to me. One should give up thinking of my possessions, my son and my husband. Janasya mohoyam amaham mameti. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion do we wrongly think I am existing or everything belongs to me. Thus, Mother Yashoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. For the moment, she was rather disappointed, thinking, my endeavors to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities are useless. The Supreme Lord has given me many things, but unless he takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. I must therefore ultimately seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 19, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha. A father and mother cannot ultimately take care of their children. Ato grihakshetra sutapa vithai janasya mohoyam amaham mameti. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 8. One's land, home, wealth, and all of one's possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we wrongly think I am this and these things are mine. Om Ajnati Milandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Saadvaitam Saabadvitam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyadi Sitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chushe Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Imabhya Divacha Vishandaraya Tasmi Maha Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the text again, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 8th chapter, text 42. Alright. Aham mama so pati eshame suto Vajeshwara swakila vitapasati Gopyascha gopa sadanas sadagodanas chame Yanmaya yetam kumati samegati. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. Yeah. So, this is Mother Yashoda, the wife of Nanda Maharaj, speaking. Why is he speaking this way? Well, Krishna performed his pastime. He performed his pastime of eating dirt while with Balaram and the other cowherd friends, boyfriends. They reported to Mother Yashoda that Krishna had eaten dirt. Krishna denied it. Again, obviously, in our terms, we'll say he was not telling the truth. But Krishna's activities are all transcendental. So what sometimes we regard here on the earth, or in the material world, as something that's negative, Krishna always has a way of turning even what seems negative to us materially as a positive and wonderful activity. Krishna's activities are all transcendental. In fact, it is said in the Shastra that one who understands that Krishna's birth as well as his activities are all beyond material and transcendental, that person is liberated. So, liberation literally is within our grasp based on how we think and based on how we act. If we think and we act according to the instructions of a spiritual master and the instructions given by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other wonderful texts, then as long as we act in that way, we will in fact be in the liberated platform. Liberation does not mean that we're going to the spiritual world yet. Obviously, we are all in the material world. But mentally, if we disconnect from mundane activities and we connect wholeheartedly to spiritual activities, Srila Prabhupada defines it as liberation. So the actual situation where we would be transferred from the material world back to the spiritual world, that would happen later, depending on everybody's time here allotted to them in the material world. Now, to come back to this, so Mother Yashoda was believing at first the cowherd boys and Balaram, who all said Krishna had eaten dirt. Krishna says, no, I haven't, and to prove it, look in my mouth. Mother Yashoda went along with it and asked Krishna to open his mouth. But then when Krishna opened his mouth, the cosmic manifestation was all there. The planets, the universe, the different situations happening, the motions of the planets, all of that Mother Yashoda saw. And clearly, anyone who sees that, the first reaction would be very surprised. This was no different for Mother Yashoda. She was very surprised to see what she saw in Krishna's mouth. And so she began, at first it was unbelievable. Her mind was trying to reject it, but her eyes could not say no, reject it, because her eyes were seeing what they were seeing. And this was the cosmic manifestation, and this was Krishna's mouth. She couldn't deny that. And so she began to think, basically she's saying to herself, what I'm thinking is really is not. And if that's the case, then what about things that are around me and things that are in my possession? Are they really mine? So now Mother Yashoda has begun to think more transcendentally and saying that it is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya, the potency of, we'll say this time, Yoga Maya, because Mother Yashoda is not contaminated materially. But he's still understanding that she is wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is her husband, Krishna is her son, and because she's a queen, and in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth, the cows, and the cows are hers, and then all the cowherd men and the wives of them, they are her subjects. And then he says, wait a minute, actually, I myself am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and he is my ultimate shelter. Now, she was saying it is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I'm wrongly thinking all these things. She still was on the Maya though, because even though she was beginning to get it right, to get it correctly, that she's a soul, she is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as she says in her own words, she is eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and that the Lord is my ultimate shelter. Still, Krishna was using Yoga Maya to act on her, because she's saying, all right, I'm wrong to think Nanda is my husband. Krishna is my son. But those are the ones in the house with her, though. So what should be our mindset with the things that are in our possession? First of all, we don't own anything. It's not difficult to prove that. The proof is, we come to this material world, this physical body, and when we were born, what do we have? Nothing. So we're born with nothing. And when it comes time to leave, what can we take with us? Nothing. So if we're born with nothing, and we leave without anything, then we really can't say we own anything here. If you think about it, we can't say we own anything here. But there are some things in our possession. That's true. There are things in our possession, and there are people we're relating to. That's there. The relationships are there, and the things that are in our possession are also there. But it doesn't mean we own them. Ultimately, we don't. Everything is supplied by nature, and nature is owned by the Lord. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's in control of all of those things. So, when we have that understanding, clearly, we should be in a humble position in all our activities, especially the Krishna conscious ones. We live in this material world, so we do some material activities. We also do some spiritual activities. At this time, because of the physical body that we have, and physical body, the mind, and so on, those are the things that we're using to live. Therefore, we have no choice. It's been decided that way, that these are the faculties of us, body, mind, intelligence, ego, we call the false ego, that we use. But as long as we have the understanding that these things are owned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're supposed to use them, then the question becomes, who should benefit most from what we do? Well, Mother Yashoda answers that. I am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and he is my ultimate shelter. If that is the case, then things that we do should be pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representative, the Guru, and ultimately the devotees. So, Sri Prabhupada says in the purport, following in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. What is the mentality? Nothing is mine. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada continues, whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and ultimate owner of everything. So then Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suhidam sarvabhutanam jatvaman santim vichyati. The sages, they know Krishna as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices, of all austerities. So when the sages are performing any austerities, they are doing so connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they perform sacrifices for the benefit of the people in general, but still, the owner of everything is Krishna, and therefore everything that's done ultimately is for the pleasure of Krishna. So, if we understand that, as the sages do, then just like them, we will also be free from the pangs of material miseries. So Srila Prabhupada comes right out and says, we should not be proud of our possessions. We should follow the mentality of Mother Yashoda. I'm not the owner of possessions. I'm not the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj. The possessions, the estate, cows, calves, and the subject like gopis and a cowherd man, they've been given to me. They are not mine. So one should give up the idea of thinking my possessions, my son, my husband, I and mine, as in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 8, Maharaj Yashobadev explains to his sons, Janasya moho yam aham amiti. Janasya moho yam aham amiti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion do we wrongly think I am existing or everything belongs to me. So Mother Yashoda, after seeing the wonderful pastime in Krishna's mouth that he displayed, then he completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada says, for the moment, she was rather disappointed, thinking, my endeavors to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities, as all that I've been doing up to this point, they're useless. Well, the Supreme Lord has given me many things, but unless he takes charge of everything, there's no assurance of protection. That is the right mentality. When we understand that Krishna protects us, and we surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness, then the protection will be felt even more, because the understanding would be there that Krishna controls everything. And Krishna has said, Ma Suchaha, in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, to abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to Him. So for us, we have Sanatana Dharma, eternal religion. It's surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It means everything about Him that we are supposed to do. For us, it's been summarized nicely into the nine processes of hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And other activities like worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, offering obeisances to Him, praying, becoming Krishna's friend, becoming Krishna's servant, surrendering everything, Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we need to keep every day advertising to ourselves. We don't own anything. Everything is for Krishna. And for us, when we use things that are in our possession for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that comes under the category of renunciation. When we use what's in our possession for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's our definition of renunciation. Because you really can't give up what you don't own. It's like my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, already gave an example some time back, about 20 years ago. It's like standing in the Brooklyn area of New York and looking at the Brooklyn Bridge and announcing to everyone, I am renouncing the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't want it. Well, now you don't own the Brooklyn Bridge to begin with. So how can you renounce something you don't own? So our situation is like that. So Srila Prabhupada says we shouldn't be proud of our possessions. Sometimes our minds make us think, well, we have an expensive car, and when we drive it, everybody is looking at who is driving. Ooh, they have this wonderful car. Therefore, then our minds begin to say, yeah, I have something other people don't have. But to say you have alone is not right. The thing is in your possession. Krishna watches what we do with the things that are in our possession. To see if we will use it to serve his devotees, to serve Guru, and ultimately to serve him. The extent to which we use things that we have to serve, or that are in our possession, to serve devotees, to serve Guru, and to serve Krishna. That extent, then Krishna would reward accordingly. So if we want more reward for Krishna, then he said, we serve him more and more. We serve him more and more from our hearts. We serve him without, as it says, ahoitiki apratiyata, no motivation for something, because we've done something, we want something back. And we don't stop serving. As Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows, the end of the Kurukshetra war, Krishna still came to see him and gave him an opportunity to do service by advising Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was going to be the next king, as to how to rule and rule well for the benefit of the citizens and to praise the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even on the bed of arrows that he was getting ready to leave, Bhishma Dev still got the opportunity to serve Krishna. So ahoituki, no motivation, apratiyata, no stopping. Whenever we can, of course our physical bodies as we get older will give us problems. That's just the way it is when the body is breaking down. But it does not mean that we stop serving. We should keep serving to the extent that our physical body would allow us to. And there's so many things that we can do. So many things we can do. So nobody should stop serving. Because as soon as you stop serving, as soon as you stop getting involved in bhakti yoga, then you're putting your spiritual progress in check. And ultimately, we will be the ones that will pay the price for it if we do that. Therefore, it is important that at all times, we, just like Rupa Goswami said, we always think of Krishna and we never forget Krishna. The easiest way to remember Krishna is to keep chanting his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we said earlier, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 8, I'm going to read the full translation. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. This is Maharaj Sabadev explaining to his 100 sons. The attraction between male and female, the physical attraction, mental also. That's the basic principle of material existence. We go on that. That basis of the misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, to his home, to his property, to his children, relatives, and wealth. And in this way, one increases one's life's illusion and thinks in terms of I and mine. So that's Bhagavatam 5.5.8. So Maharaj Yashavadev, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's saying the attraction between male and female is the basic principles of material existence. Well, the attraction has been put in place because this is how more of the same kind of personalities come to this material world. Whatever species, they're male and female. The animals as well as humans, male and female. Even fish in the sea. So it's like that. This is how other progeny comes. But the attraction makes us then, especially for humans, do other things to keep the relationship going between male and female. therefore, home, property, children, and then, of course, same thing happens between us and others that are related to us, who are relatives. It keeps expanding, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on. And then we try to work hard for wealth in order to be able to support the family. And if we think only materially, as unfortunately many people now do in this world, it's life's illusions. I and mine. These things are mine. These are other people that are in my family, they are an extension of me. And in that way, we forget, because the mind now is moved into the material and away from the spiritual, and the things that we need to do in order to get out of this cosmic house of correction. And this is jail. That's why they're suffering here. We don't do, and then there's problems. But devotees try very hard, to their extent of their abilities, to stay with Krishna consciousness. So we may be fortunate in that sense. But what about those, the majority of people in the world, who also need Krishna consciousness, but don't know that this is the real saving situation that we should involve our bodies in? What should we do? Well, Srila Prabhupada talks about it in the purport of another text, which we will get to. In 5.5.8, basically, nothing that we try will work unless the Lord sanctions it. So I and mine, that we have to get out of the mentality and go like Mother Yashoda thinks. Now do like Mother Yashoda is doing and thinking. I'm wrongly thinking that I'm existing, everything belongs to me. We should think everything belongs to the Lord. And I'm fortunate enough to have some things in my possession to use to serve the Lord. That's all. That's the right mentality. Now, Mother Yashoda also said that ultimately she is the eternal servant of Krishna. And basically she's reminding herself that things don't work the way she thinks, but things work under the supervision and under the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 19, I'll read a translation. This is Prahlad Maharaj talking to Lord Nrisingadev after Lord Nrisingadev removed the problems that Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj's father, was causing him. In one of his prayers, 7.9.19, in the translation, Prahlad Maharaj says, "My Lord Nrisingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment." Those who are in these physical bodies and who are neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly not permanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that, yes, there's always endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them are guaranteed. They are not guaranteed that they are good measures for protection. You can't be sure. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they can't afford permanent benefit. So, Srila Prabhupada gives examples repeating what Prahlad Maharaj is talking about. The presence of a father and a mother. Yes, the child may feel protected, but that's only up to a point. There are situations that happen that the mother and father cannot protect the child. For example, from accidental death, or from disease, and various other miseries. Srila Prabhupada is explaining. Now, Anusuya and I are actually father and mother for two daughters. And we'll tell you a few things that happened that made us realize this very point that's been said here. The presence of the father and mother, the child cannot be protected. Not totally. Some things the parents can try to do, but ultimately the shelter comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this so happened, we were in Giranagari. There was a Mataji that traveled actually from Philadelphia to Giranagari, came by bus, and there's a place called State College, is one of the towns here in Pennsylvania, about an hour or so from Giranagari. So there were two Matajis, my wife was one of them, and the other one was the driver of the car, went to pick this Mataji up from the bus station. And as they were coming, there's a place where there are mountains, and the road, the highway has been constructed through the mountains. And if you go into that place, it's called State College, Pennsylvania, you go up the mountain. So it's a struggle to go up. But coming down, you're going, coming the other way to Giranagari, you have to go downhill. So you have to be really careful. And people drive as carefully as they can using their brakes. So in that area, there was a turn that was supposed to be made, and this driver, this Mataji that was driving, took her attention temporarily off the road. So then my wife was on the, Anasia was on the passenger seat, and just cautioned her, listen, you're almost going off the road. Now, she was not an experienced driver, so when she heard that, she turned away from the edge of the road, which is the correct thing to do, but she turned too much with the steering wheel, and the car going at 50 miles an hour just lost control. And anyway, to just fast forward to the end, nobody died. So that part you should know. But obviously, the car going out of control, she tried very hard to control the car, but she couldn't. And so she hit the middle median lane, came back, and the guardrail on the other side hit that too. And in the end, the car came to a stop with the tires up in the air. In other words, I'm saying the car overturned. And they were in it. The Mataji that was picked up, the Mataji that was driving, and Sia, my wife, was in the passenger seat in the front, and my one-year-old daughter in a child restraint seat in the back. So two in the back, two in the front. The car was overturned. Fortunately, Krishna protected all of the devotees, including my one-year-old daughter, Vrinda. So the second one was not even born yet. So everybody climbed out. They managed to get the doors open, climbed out. And everybody was in shock. And then it didn't take long. Almost a minute went by, as they tell me, that they remembered, wait a minute. Vrinda's in the car still. They went, they saw that the car, obviously upside down. So Vrinda was upside down in the car. And they managed to get her out. And she had just a slight lip cut, a little blood in the lower lip. That was all. She was fine. Everybody else got banged up quite a bit. And I think my wife's the one that took the most serious of the injuries. So people going by saw it. They called the ambulance. They were taken to the hospital, which is only about 15 minutes away from where they were, Lewistown Hospital. So I'm home, and this phone call comes in. I pick it up, and the nurse on the phone is telling me, trying to calm me down, but telling me there's an accident and you should come to the hospital. I said, all right. So then about 5 or 10 minutes later, I was on the road. Got there half hour later. They were very relieved. The nurses were very relieved to see me, because the first thing that happened is, since that time that they came to the hospital, Vrinda, only a one-year-old baby, actually less than 1 year old, had been crying the whole time, because obviously the mother was separated, and her mother was separated from her because they had to deal with Anasuya's injuries. And so she was with strangers. The nurses are trying to calm her down. She would not stop. There's a parent. She can see the parent, but she can't go to the parent. And so I drove and finally got there, and as soon as I got there, the nurses were very relieved, because as soon as Vrinda saw me, she just put her arms out like a baby would, and then I just took her, and that's when she stopped crying. So this accident had happened. nobody had any control after that, what was going to go on. It took another parent to even have the child stop crying, but she was very scared. This is a child. Do we have control at that time when the parent is not around? No. What caused it? Did we have control over the accident? No. So these things can happen, and we don't have any control at that time. We think we have control. That's what's being pointed out. At every time, we really come under the protection of Krishna. And so things seem normal. But actually, whatever rules that we have to live with in driving and all of that, basically, it is the control and the protection of Krishna that makes us go on. So devotees should remember that and use that even to preach sometimes, so people can sober up and realize that things are not under their control. Many people think they can control things, but look at the way life is now. For one virus, our life has changed so much because of one situation of disease. So, the ultimate shelter is the Lord. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 31, Kaunteya Pachidanhi Name Bhakta Panashati, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, there is no remedial measure that can act effectively. It's only the mercy of Krishna. Now, even things like the weather, when you think about it, so it may be nice where you are, it may be nice where we are, but did we decide what the weather was going to be like today? No. We never do. If the snow comes and we had plans and it changes our plans, well, pretty much you can say too bad. You have to adjust. You have to deal with the situation. We have to stop what we're doing and try to get ourselves in a more tolerable situation based on what the weather throws at us. But every day, the weatherman tells us, okay, the temperature is this, this percentage chance of rain or snow or whatever, depending on the time of the year. But they don't control the weather. They just tell us from the instrument what it's going to be like. In other words, deal with it. Is it going to be okay or it's not going to be okay? You deal with it. They don't see it like that, but actually it implies that. So, that kind of thought should sober a person up and realize we're not in control of anything here in this material world. We really aren't. And if there are things like disease, old age, and death, sometimes our birth, we don't remember the details of our birth because we grow before we really come to the point where our intelligence kicks in and we know what's happening around us. As babies, we don't know so much. But there is the pain of death. Other people have died. We've seen what they've been through. And the emotions of the family members and friends after the person leaves the body. These are all negative. Then old age. Now, if you're not old yet, you will get there. I'm beginning to feel it in the 60s that I'm at now. The body slows down. Physical body, you get tired sometimes for no reason. It seems like for no reason, but the body is actually getting older and you're just getting the effect of it. And of course, pain. Now, Srila Prabhupada came here in the latter stages of, his life. He was already up there in age, almost 70. And he got here to the West. For most of the time, he never really talked about his body. But there's only one lecture that I heard from him that he complained about the pain. Now, you could tell in the tone of his voice that the body was giving him so much pain. His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj also, when he got older, he also one time in a lecture, he says, "A body is like that. What can we do?" This is how he put it. And he still wanted to offer dandavats to the deities and offer dandavats to Srila Prabhupada in the temple. So he would do it anyway. Go down, full flat on the floor to offer down the bath to the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON, and also the deities. But he couldn't get back up. Every time he went down, he couldn't get back up. The way I saw it is that there was a video of, you know, people videoed him offering obeisances. So then after he offers obeisances, he will stretch his arms out, and then the devotees will lift him on either side of the arm and pull him up. He wanted to offer obeisances. That he wanted to do. And so he took advantage of the younger devotees that were and disciples that were around him. And then he would go to the deities and do the same thing. Offer Dhanabhat, and then he stretched out his arms after he's finished the mantra, the prayer, and then the devotees would lift him up. He still kept serving, and he still kept preaching. So, we never ever give up. Ahoituki apatiyata. No motivation, wanting something from service. So Krishna gives us so many blessings anyway. We don't have to ask. We just have to keep serving. And we don't retire from it. Whatever the physical body, it will limit us at some point. There's no question. As you get older, you're going to be limited by the physical body in some things that you do. Sometimes, and I'm going through it myself, there's some things that I want to still keep doing, but the physical body says no. And then so people around me are telling me, listen, some things you have to give up. Have other people who are younger and stronger do it. Sometimes you get attached to service like that. But this is the way life is. Sometimes our minds bother us. So Krishna says, this is Srila Prabhupada quoting Krishna, Bhagavad Gita 13:9. The real sufferings of the material world are four: janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease. And Srila Prabhupada says, in the history of the world, nobody has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. Pakita kiyamanani gunai karmini sabasya. Ahankar vimudasma kartahamiti manyate. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Prakriti, nature, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. Srila Prabhupada says, so-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, politicians, they should conclude, therefore, that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. It's only the material nature that controls everything. And material nature's controller is Krishna himself, through his expansions as Lord Vishnu. And of course, to that, Lord Brahma. So when we understand that this is what we're facing, then humility should kick in. So, Srila Prabhupada says, a humble attempt to propagate Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. So when we propagate Krishna consciousness, we preach, we find different ways to bring Krishna to people in the world, then we are doing a tremendous service to them. So if we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, then we shall never be happy within this material world. Whether we are in the medium, planetary systems, upper planetary systems, or lower planetary systems. So, what should devotees do? Well, as a group of devotees, we need to distribute the Lord's mercy our way off, and some things we're already doing. We just have to keep doing even more and more intensely. Book distribution, prasadam distribution, and now that social media is present, we use it a lot more to preach, and even have strategic videos to entice people. And when we say entice, from us that, those of us that are trained as teachers, we know that we start with what people know. So they can relate to it when you start something. You want to get a point across. Then you lead from there to what they don't know. So you start from the known to the unknown. So the same way, we have to distribute prasadam that people know of. Depending on the culture, there are some things that when you give, and I saw this happening in Inaga, I'll just tell you the story about it. So there was this professor in the university, that as a professor of religion and comparative religion, so he was looking at different religions, teaching different religions, and Gidanagri was not too far away. This is a farm community, not too far away from the university that was at. So He would arrange every year for his students, the students who take his course, to come to Giranagari. And then when they come, you'll have one devotee tell the class in the temple about the lifestyle of Giranagari. So one time he came, and that year I was there. I was not the person speaking. I was just in the temple room along with the students. And there was one devotee, senior devotee, senior to me, that was speaking. Talked about different things that we, you know, do here. And obviously not a single one of them, as you might imagine, was a devotee. A single one of them, the students, was a devotee. Some of them were religious. A good many of them were Christian. We could tell from the questions that they were asking. And we found it rather interesting. I had a Christian background, you know, from a Christian background, came to Christian consciousness. The person that was speaking did not have a Christian background coming in. I think it was actually the first eternal religion he got involved in was Christian consciousness, when he saw the devotees. So they were asking him questions, but they had, the students is what I'm talking about, they had made a distinction between who they consider God and who we were talking about as God. In other words, in their minds, they hadn't been convinced yet that Krishna was God, the God they knew. And so they were talking about my God and your God, my God and your God, and that's how the questions were coming out. So in the end, some of us that do Christianity and the Bible had to step in and explain by the story in the Bible of Adam and Eve, and to explain that in that story, what happened was the snake, they said the snake deceived Eve, who was the woman, Adam was the man, they were together, man and wife, and the deception was actually believed. The deception was believed by Eve that when they ate of a fruit that they had been banned from eating, that they will be at the level of God in consciousness, at least, and in power. And so Eve ate of it. Well, that meant that Eve was going to be, according to what the snake promised, was going to be at the same level of God. Then I said, well, why would anyone who had been given so much opulence and easy life want to violate one rule and get to the level of the master? The only way that can happen is if you are envious of the master's position. Otherwise, if the master is giving you everything, why would you want to get to the same level as the master? And that was the point. And so we brought that up, and I said, it's because of envy. And they agreed. And I said, well, in our philosophy, we are also told that we are in the material world because of envy. Now, you know very well that when God banned Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, when it had everything there, and put them in the material world, he obviously was angry with them, because he basically cursed them left and right, that things would be difficult for them in the material world. So things are difficult for us here also because of envy. We have to explain it that way to them. And then I said, well, so it's the same God that has put us here, because we envy him, just like Eve also envied the Supreme Personality of Godhead that you call your God. And that's how they got the connection that Krishna must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We say this because this is very, very important. The people that are different religions, they don't think Krishna is the same personality of Godhead that they worship. And we need to make that point across. When they get that point across, then they will be more open to hearing what our philosophy is, which is in fact arguably the highest philosophy that they can actually be involved in. So we need to do this, distribute books, distribute prasadam, and use the social media. And then our own mentality should be, we're not the owners of anything. Anything in our possession is for caretaking. And we are also watched to see how much of it we'll use in serving devotees, Guru, and Krishna, and that the ultimate protector is Krishna himself. Now, our mentality around the temple, our mentality with devotees, we have to really watch, because one of the things that sabotages us is aparad. So we have to be careful to respect everyone, especially leaders of departments. When we bring in suggestions, we need to, especially if you're talking to someone that is senior to you, you need to put it in a question form, because that's the easiest way to ask something. If you put it in a question form, then the person would agree with your suggestion in the question, or if they have a bigger picture, they can point that out to you. They know a bigger picture that you don't know about, they can point it out to you. So questions are very, very effective. Rather than bring suggestions, it's like you're imposing on someone. So you also have to be patient when those suggestions are not taken yet, because there's, you know, time to do everything. You have to stay away from micromanagement, thinking that you know better, and you start implementing decisions outside of the knowledge of those who are running the temple. That will bring problems. Don't ask questions in a challenging mood. That's also there in Bhagavad Gita. You approach a spiritual master, we inquire submissively. But we actually should be submissive, actually, to everyone, so the relationships are maintained in a good state all the time. We need to be honest, and we also need to be punctual. Now, sometimes mistakes happen, but we shouldn't think that we're a failure just because we made mistakes. That's just part of the four defects of humans. Making mistakes is one of them. And we should never have an ego to the point where a mistake has been made, an apology is needed, and we don't offer an apology. We should apologize when we're in that situation. It doesn't lower our dignity when we apologize. So these are a few things that we can bear in mind in order to have good relations among themselves, among ourselves. And so then when we go out, then everybody will get the point that, you know, we are quite united in bringing Krishna consciousness to everyone near us. Hare Krishna. So we'll go over the translation for today again. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.42. So this is Mother Yashoda speaking. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I'm wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I'm the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possession, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I'm also eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and he is my ultimate shelter. Hare Krishna. So thank you for giving me the service through Guru and Krishna. So now, if anybody wants to ask questions, they can unmute and ask questions. Hare Krishna. Or even make comments too. So are there any questions? Hare Krishna. Sorry.
Very nice, very elaborate class. My question is this. When do we know when to let go?
It is not the easiest thing at all to find out that the answer to that question is from circumstance to circumstance. But having said that, it is actually when we are more introspective about our situation, we got to be in constant prayer mood, because the answer is you don't really know when to let go. Now, we could talk about nectar of instruction. It said that over-endeavoring, that's there, over-endeavoring. So nectar of instruction warns us that when we try, we don't seem to be getting anywhere, we should give up. Maybe there's another way to approach whatever it is that we're doing. But your question is, when do we give up? The answer to that is not so easy, because it depends on the circumstance. And all you really can do is pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Guru. Pray to Guru first. It goes from Guru to Krishna. That I am trying this. I don't know when to give up or whether I should give up at all. And so you guide me in this situation as to what to do. So we literally, just like Mother Yashoda is saying, Krishna is our shelter. We have to surrender to Krishna. He controls our mind if we let him, because we have the free choice. So if we determine that the best thing to do is to submit our mind, and for that matter our senses, the way we use them, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for control rather than we controlling it, then we get guided. This is also a point about humility. The best way in order for things to work well for us is to literally, mentally get out of the way and have Guru and Krishna determine and drive our lives. Now, how we get out of the way is what we pointed out. That in the morning, before you start your day, you have your mantras and things that you do and the chanting, but you also should pray and say, for today, dear Gurudev, dear Srila Prabhupada, dear Lord Gauranga, everything that I decide, it's coming through me. It actually should come from you. In other words, whatever that I want to do, if it's right, if you approve that it's okay, whatever I think of, then let it happen. And if it's not right, then you take it off. Or my Guru Maharaj likes to say, sabotage it. Change it. So that way, you have basically mentally gotten out of the way. And now, decisions are coming and things are going on. Sometimes you have to push a little bit more. That's like the question you asked. Try more. But if it's not working out, the Lord will actually let you know when to give up. Or he'll change things for you, give you an impression, give you some hint that you have to go a different direction to get it done. It is all through submission by prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through Guru, that you can actually manage your life better. Otherwise, if you just get tossed into material energy, then you don't know when to decide what and when to, how long you should push on something, and it becomes quite difficult. Just like the question you're saying, it is quite difficult for people who are materialistic. But those who pray for God and Guru and Gauranga to control their lives can in fact make decisions at the right time, because decisions are actually coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through them. And that's the way you get around this issue. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Okay. Hare Krishna. Jai. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sunivya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna to everybody. Jai. Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.